Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You show starts now. Hello, my friends. How are you? How was your month? I will tell you, I love March. I always get to go away for spring break with my boys, and I usually to a place that's much warmer than Iowa, and I get to hang out with them, and I get to talk with them, and I get to watch them interact, and it's awesome. So it's also, friends, it's March Madness, and I am loving, well, I love to watch basketball anyway, but I'm loving watching Iowa State ball. Because what's so amazing about the way that they play ball, and most teams don't execute the way that State does, is they have mastered the fundamentals. They play great defense. They block out. They're always ready for the pass. They expect it. They trust their team. They play hard when they're in, all the time, right? They read the court. They know if there's a mismatch on offense and they capitalize on it. They're cool. They're calm. The coach, right, stands on the sideline with a few like kind of nonverbals and, but he trusts his team, right, to execute the plays, and nothing much really rattles him. And if it does, he doesn't show it, or at least I haven't seen it. He just puts whatever frustration back into massive amounts of praise, massive amounts of encouragement for his players. So why am I telling you this, right? Well, his players mirror his disposition. And even though they could not hit a jumper, right, to save their life, they were able to beat Baylor because they nailed the fundamentals. And I think that's the key to life. In so many aspects, it's just getting the fundamentals right. When we were having our last breakfast at the Hard Rock in Riviera Maya, I asked my family a pretty basic question, right? Like, what was your best time? What are you most looking forward to when you get home? What did you learn, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that I mentioned about why I was so excited to get back home was one, of course, sorry, to see my dog, but to be closer to my brother. But the other one was to get me back into my routine, my morning five, my Sunday set, my intentional imprints. These are the fundamentals, right? They keep me super present. They keep me super intentional. They keep me super productive, super energetic. They keep me operating at my best. And the fundamentals do that not only for teams to win tournaments, but they are necessary for individuals to win at life. So let me ask you, what are your fundamentals? What are your non-negotiables? Having them, demanding them, inviting myself to a different standard of excellence in them is the difference maker. I believe that was the difference maker when Iowa State beat Baylor by, I think it was like some 20 points. That's the difference maker in our own life, is how well we execute and practice the fundamentals, the basics, friends. We don't have to make this harder than it is. Life is hard enough. Can we just be consistent with the simplicity of the basics? That's my first invitation for you today. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that, and it won't come to any surprise to you, but they expect to win. Like, Iowa State expected to win that game. Even though in the series, I think it was 50-50, I think they won one, and I think Baylor won one, and Iowa State won one, but they expect to win, like all teams. right? No doubt. I doubt there is a team that if asked, do you think you will win, that they would say no. Right? They wouldn't say, I'm not sure. I doubt it. Like, we've lost to them this year, and, you know, we haven't historically done a really great job of competing against them, or yeah, their offensive game is pretty talented, and you know, we probably just, you know, don't have what it takes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that, really? No, heck no. They mostly humbly offer up to the press or in the locker room, we can do this. We can win. Even if they have lost to the team during season play, they aren't saying, yeah, right? I don't have what it takes to win. We don't have any evidence that we can beat them. Rather, they use that as the very fuel to beat them. They use it as an invitation to win, not as evidence to lose. When they play as if every play matters, because it does. Consecutive good plays wins games. And I love, love, love comparing life to sports, because I consider it to be one. I do. I consider life to be a sport. I mean, my email, friends, for the longest time, like at least 20 years, has been leahtfl.com. So now you have my email. Please feel free to use it, right? Talk to me. Tell me how you are. I want to hear from you. Nothing much gives me as much pleasure as hearing from you and hearing what you love about the show, what you wish I would talk more about the show. So leahtfl.com. That is my email. But the TFL. Any guesses for what it stands for? It stands for training for life. I believe you have to train. And part of that training is knowing and practicing the fundamentals. And I talk about these all of the time on the podcast, but I'm going to focus this show on the latter part. How do you look at defeat in your life? Are you looking at defeat as an invitation to win? Or are you looking at it as evidence to lose? Friends, where are you inviting yourself into success? Where are you inviting yourself into success? If you are not, you're sabotaging your life. So many teams go 50-50 for the season, and they're not going into the playoffs thinking they're not going to win, even if they have evidence that 50% of the time they don't, right? How often, right, on way less proof, do they stand up and step into and onto the court? And how often, knowing that they're going to win, and how often do we take that same 50-50 and we use it as proof to fold, to quit, to make excuses as to why it won't work for us, instead of using the future to create literally whatever we want in our life? We use the past to confirm more of the same. And friends, it's not just our brains that are collecting evidence, providing proof of what isn't possible. We can also give some credit to the collective brains that like to offer up their own bias about possibility. So I wanted to share with you, with that in mind, a story about a client of mine. She is a brilliant dentist, mother, wife. She had outgrown like her practice, and so she decided to build a bigger building, one with more operatory rooms so that she could take more walk-ins, more emergency patients. And then COVID hit. And as you can imagine, things slowed way down. And having to produce to afford the bigger space became more challenging. And she had not faced this competition before, right? None of us had. All of the evidence was showing her that the building was expensive. It was too expensive. The building was a source of tension in conversations at home. Family members, business consultants, tax advisors, her whole quote unquote support team, were telling her that that building was the problem. The building was the source of her anxiety and stress, and that she should just sell it. She should just quit. And I asked her what she thought of the building. And more specifically, I asked her how long she had been thinking that. And she basically said that she'd been thinking about that since COVID, thinking that her building was a liability, that the loan was bad debt, that she wished that she wouldn't have bought it, that it was a stupid decision, and pretty much convinced herself, and she was trying to convince me that everyone agrees as much. Now, you don't have to be an energy scientist to guess how her practice is going, right? Do you think she was filling it up with all of these extra patients, all these extra emergency visits, right? Or do you think she was filling up the exact amount that she had before wasting her money on the building? Do you think she was doing more production in a bigger building, the one that she hates, the one that was a waste of money and time? Or do you think that she was making the exact same amount of money prior to that quote unquote bad decision that she made? I asked her, when she had made the decision to get a bigger building, did she think it was a stupid decision? And she said no. And I asked her, when she took out the loan to fund this building, did she think that was a stupid decision? She said no. And I asked her what evidence she had when she initially made the decision. I asked her, how did she know that it was going to be a good one? Where was her proof? She said she didn't have any. Interesting, right? Right? She decided to create what she wanted from the possibility of her future at that moment in time. I said, okay, great. So I asked her, why is it that now she thinks it makes sense to stop creating from the future and instead use the past to determine what's possible? And then I mentioned, do you notice that the proof you look for, you'll find, and you will confirm and collect evidence accordingly? Meaning, if you think the building was a dumb decision, it will be. You won't fill it up. You won't fill up the rooms. You will not promote the rooms. You will not need to think differently. You won't need to problem solve differently. You will continue doing the exact same thing you did before. You will continue to think the same, feel the same, show up the same, and ultimately have the exact same results. If you think the debt was bad, are you energetically loving the building, the rooms, the space, the door you enter? I doubt it. I asked her this. What do you think every time you pay the bills? The utilities, the insurance, the lease payment. What do you think every time you walk into your building? Every time you walk into, pass by the unused rooms? And she said, I hate the building. I was stupid to buy it. And these rooms will just sit idle. And I asked her, if you thought this before you bought your building, would you have bought it? She looked at me like, duh, like, no, Leah, I wouldn't. So I asked her why she thought thinking about it like that now was a good idea. And she laughed and she said she didn't know. People feel energy. I asked her, what do you think people feel when they walk through the doors of a building you hate, a debt you loathe, and a practice that is a source of tremendous stress and anxiety? You better bet that they for sure feel that. As if going to the dentist wasn't stressful and anxiety-ridden on its own. So I asked her if she would be willing to give back everybody's opinion of what they think she should do or shouldn't have done. And she said that she would. And then I asked her to remember why she bought the building in the first place. For impact, she said. for improved patient care, she said, for expansion. We just thought that it was going to be easier than it is. Comfortable. That's the same thing. Ease, comfortability. That is the difference between what separates the winners from the ones that don't. I told her that she could for sure continue to have the same type of practice. She could for sure. I would love her no matter what. She could sell the building. She could do whatever she wanted to do. But something in her invited her to win, invited her to go big, invited her to compete. I just didn't want her to let herself down. So what would it take for her to look at her building as an opportunity to win, an opportunity to produce the impact her community in a way that wasn't possible in her smaller building? What if we were to look at her debt as truly the currency for her ambition instead of an error of ignorance? What if we looked at everything about the building as something that she created by looking to the possibilities of the future, and that the future can be accessed at any time if you choose? We make it so hard, but it really is simple. We can use, friends, we can use our past to create more of the same. We do that every single day, 95% of the day, in fact. Or we can use our future to create something different. Now, I don't care. I don't care what you choose, but I want you to care. I want you to care. I want you to care more about your future than the uncertainty, the unknown, the doubt that your brain wants you to believe is the reality of what's happening. And so in all of that, something incredible happened. Now, I know this won't surprise you, right? This is not something of the mystics. This is not voodoo medicine. This isn't toxic positivity, right? This is tapping into the energy that is everything. Right? Tell me this. When someone you are with is in a bad mood, can you tell? Yes, you can. You call it having a bad attitude. Guess what that is? Poor energy management. It is all energy. And the more you can align your energy with what you want, the more you can create the life that you desire. And if any of this conversation intrigues you, I really want to invite you to join us in Shift this year. And in particular, next month, right? We are going to create our future from the future. We are also, friends, we're launching our very first in the Manifest Mind series. It's called A Course in Creation. It is a 3-month course with live coaching, 12 video modules, workbooks, private groups, right? If you are doubting what you created, like my client, doubting the building, doubting the debt, doubting herself, doubting faith, or if you're just confused by what to do next, and you just continue to spin out in I don't knows and uncertainties, desperate for the how-to guide, desperate for the outcome to reveal itself so that you can believe that it's possible for you, right? Or if you're just struggling in any way at all with any aspect of life, this is truly a must course. And you can find out about it all in the show notes, or you can email me, right? So let me get back quickly to my client. I asked her to give back. Remember, I asked her to give back the opinions to the rightful owners. Okay. They didn't have the dream that my client did. They couldn't possibly know what is possible for her. She gave them back. Then I asked her to reimagine a possibility where she went from a few specialty cases a month to 10. I asked her how she would feel entering her practice with massive, I mean, I'm talking like mad love, massive amounts of love and appreciation for allowing her to make all of her dreams come true. A building that was big enough to scale, big enough to accommodate emergency patients. Imagine being grateful for a debt that afforded you the opportunity to make the impact on the industry that you love. What would happen if you loved your building, loved your opportunity, and used that passion to see what you're capable of? She was willing. This is equivalent, friends, to playing a team that you've never played before. COVID was the team. It came out of the blue. And we're resilient opponents. But the ones that stayed true to the fundamentals pivoted on values, driven in purpose, got to the other side. Where are you? Don't assume you don't have what it takes. Don't borrow other people's beliefs about what's possible for you. They can't possibly know. Assume you have exactly what it takes. And if you don't, you are willing to learn. Assume that they can be beat. Whatever team we're talking about. Every team can be. Assume that you will win. Assume that your dream is part of your destiny, or it wouldn't be your dream. It would be someone else's. My client decided that it no longer served her to borrow other people's opinions about her dream. She decided to love her practice, all of it. The open op rooms, the debt, the bills, the team, all of it, including herself for having the courage to honor her dream in the first place. Guess what happened? Swear to you. She tripled her specialty cases. She started filling her rooms. You know the ones that were empty? She had her best 3 months in dentistry, better by far than any years prior, plus 10 to be exact. You see, it's amazing what a little energetic focus and a little hunger will drive you to do. It invites you to partake in your spirit that is determined, that is gritty, that is passionate, that is on fire for your dream. Your dream. What happens all too often is when we stop doing the fundamentals, we stop doing the work here, we stop believing and having faith in ourselves, we find ourselves in a weakened position. When we are in a weakened position, everyone else and their opinion seems to be the most credible because we have lost that credibility within ourselves. The fundamentals keep you confident. They keep you humble, right? They add on to that evidence that invites you to believe in yourself a little bit, invite you to try, invite you to win, invite you to compete. And then momentum then becomes the new evidence, your evidence. Your evidence in possibility, your evidence in capabilities. Just like teams, right, getting ready to compete in March Madness, don't count themselves out. Let's not count ourselves out. No team goes into the tournament thinking that they won't win. Why? Why do we go into our life thinking that we won't? I think a part of it is that we give too much credit to what other people think. I think another part of it is we don't have a coach. We don't have somebody that's going to set their hair on fire and enroll them into the potential that they are. We don't have someone that we can borrow their belief every time ours seems a little shaken. And we haven't prioritized the fundamentals. Could it really be that simple? Could it really be that simple? Could it be that simple that the reason we're not winning more in our life is because we're borrowing other people's opinion or expectation of us, opinion that we can't win, that we're not a likely candidate to win, that we have no evidence of such and we believe them? Is it that we don't have a coach? Is it that we don't have someone that's going to challenge us on our own doubt and invite us to believe in the awesomeness of our dream? And is it just as simple as consistent practice of the fundamentals? I think so. I've seen it over and over and over again. So what are you doing to compete in your life? I want to know. Know what your fundamentals are. Give everyone their opinions back and get a coach. Too many people will forfeit, quit, and sacrifice their potential because they can't see what they need to see to shift. How can you change what you can't see? And I don't care if it's me, our team at Shift, or anyone. I just care that you care enough to stop tripping on your own lack of awareness. That's what I care about. And so until next time, my beautiful friends, know that I am your biggest fan, cheering you on. And I invite you to step into the amazingness that you are. The world is waiting. I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.